Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Today we're going to be chatting with our guest about the necessity of an anti-war movement and about never giving up our peace efforts, even when it appears that there's no hot wars going on, because the war machine never gives up. My guest is Pat Alviso. Pat is a mother who was propelled into activism by circumstances, and her story is one that is very, very familiar with a lot of us. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Pat Alviso, the new National Director of Military Families Speak Out. Pat Alviso, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thank you, Cindy. How are you?
We're doing okay. Thank you. I just want to disclose that we are friends and we've done a lot of work together. And I never do hostile interviews, if you know what I mean. I think that the war machine gets enough press, so I like to put people on who I agree with and who are doing good things. So I know that you have been in the struggle for quite some time now, so that's why we're having you on Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to work with such a friendly friend.
So,
yeah, I like it.
Yeah, for my listeners, tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and what propelled you into activism. And you don't just do anti-war activism, you do other kinds of things too, but tell my listeners about yourself.
Well, I'm a mom of, I have two boys, and my oldest son, they decided to join the military when he was in high school, and although we tried to talk him out of it any way we could, we even told them, we'll pay for any college you want, just grade school, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Don't join. But, you know, we can't always control what our kids do, right?
And tell me about it. Yeah.
I know. Really. I mean, we do the best we can raising them, right? And sometimes they do these crazy things. And as you all know, and he, when he was in high school, he checked himself out of high school so he could graduate early, so that the day he turned 18, he could be in the Marines.
Wow.
So he's a career Marine, and he's still been deployed many times, five times so far, and had a lot of struggles with that deployment as has the family. But that's who we are now. We are standing up for justice and working hard to end these wars, and it's opened up a whole new world for me, because I was not an activist. I'm actually just recently retired high school teacher. And somehow I've been able to combine teaching with my peace activism through the years and learned so much.
Well, it's the same, really it's the same thing. But I know after Camp Casey, I got a lot of communications from Marines, and they said that they've told their mother that if anything happens to them, that she better not do what I did. And to me, first of all, they say that they're fighting for our freedoms, but then they want to limit the freedoms of their mother if something happens to them. But what?
Yeah,
that's what I would tell
that,
them.
You know, Robert, my son joined, but, you know, I feel like I was drafted.
Uh-huh.
You just know it, right? Cindy, you just know it. Like, when you went out there in Crawford, you were in your own world, and you knew it in your heart. It didn't matter from what I could see, because I was just in a mind-numbing fog here in California doing nothing. And you guys were up there in Crawford, and I'm looking at the TV, and then, bam, it hit me too, but I could see it. You guys knew what you were doing. Took
well,
me too long
your,
to catch up.
What does your son think of your anti-war activism?
You know, it's been an evolution, actually.
Uh-huh.
At first, it was really hard, because he knew that, you know, we didn't want him to go, and he knew why. He knew that we felt war was wrong. It was very hard on us. So kind of when he when he first got deployed, he told me, Mom, you know, when you do what you're going to do, because I know you're going to do it, when the war broke out, and he said, then, you know, just don't use my name or picture, and, you know, and things were sort of okay at that time. He understood that it was what we needed to do. And it was fine, really. And for a couple of years, in the first deployment, he was very, very open. But I'm sure you've heard, and many of your listeners have heard, that when our troops come back home, they're changed so much when they're in combat, more than we know. And that's when things started closing down, and he was more entrenched into that whole military mindset. You know, they were watching Fox and so many things that I knew right away he couldn't get through, and he was having some trouble. But then we had a major falling out at one point, you know, when the word got out that, and he was hearing some of these things, and his other Marines were telling him that I was making the news in a more public way where it was going even national, he was getting more upset and more pressure from his colleagues. So we had a little falling out, but then he came around again and said, you know, gave us one of those military answers, I'm fighting for your right to speak, but other times he becomes more of my son. But it takes him a long time after deployment to tell me things that I know are truly in his heart, which is that, look, Mom, I know you're just doing it because you love me.
Aww.
Although he doesn't agree with me about the war. After every deployment, he does come back to more my way of thinking. And then when he, right before he's about to be deployed, they do this kind of getting ready thing and think that I'm crazy.
It takes a really strong person to resist that brainwashing, that military brainwashing.
Yes.
Well, you are in an organization that I've worked with, Military Families Speak Out, and recently you have taken on a larger role in that organization. So tell my listeners about MFSO, Military Families Speak Out, the origins, the reorganization, and your new role in it.
Okay. Actually, the Military Families Speak Out is a national organization made up of about 5,000 families that have loved ones in the military, and we stand together on this mission statement, which is to support the troops, bring them home now, and take care of them when they get home. Well, we have all sorts of political philosophies within that group. Many of us are, like, totally anti-war. Some of us are just against some of the wars. And so our points of unity are ending the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that's where we get our voice, because we get all sorts of people who have military families like mine, you know, that have maybe had a long tradition of military families, you know, fathers, brothers, sisters. And so they're more comfortable speaking out with us because we're all anxious about our kids. But this organization was started when the drumbeats of the war in Iraq were being heard, and that was Nancy Lessen and Charlie Richardson. And they were living in Boston, and their son was about to be deployed, and that's when they and I think another family in their neighborhood said, no, we're going to stop this war from happening. And that organization grew over the years and hit its peak around the height of the war in Iraq. And that's about where you all got together, right? Or I'm not sure about where Gold Star families got into with MFSO. Was that about that time? Or?
Well, it was in 2004 after Casey was killed when Dee Dee and I founded Gold Star Families for Peace.
Well, that's certainly where I started getting, when I started waking up, and then I saw what you were doing out there in Crawford, and I was hanging out in Camp Casey for a little bit, but I came back home, and the organization was strong and had our backs in so many ways, but I helped try to start some chapters in California, and we had about 5 or 6 of them with some amazing people like Lori Sutton and Tim Taylor, Judith Ross. You know, we went to jail with you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was the awakening that after I did that, you know, when they take away everything you've got, you know this, and you just got you and trusting whoever's on the other side of the bars. They've got your whole life in their hands. Once you've done that, you kind of just feel like, you know, so what? You know,
right.
I can make it through this, and I'm doing it because you want the war to end. No more killing. No more senseless madness to be Lord. It's worth it.
Well, I was dismayed last year when I got an email saying that Military Families Speak Out was disbanding and was ending. And so then you jumped in at that point.
Yes, we tried to make the transition seamless because I knew we were so close to the finish line, and some of us were just a little blindsided by this whole thing that was going on because we were so hyper-focused on our local action.
Uh-huh.
That's what I was doing. I was all over California organizing chapters and just trying to keep everybody's heads up. And, you know, after 13 years, a lot of stuff was going on in the national office that a lot of us that were just so focused on our local areas didn't know. It had changed to an all, because, you know, originally they were getting a lot of grants from some pretty great people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, it was an organization that was staffed with an office and all sorts of materials and support services. It was incredible. Beautiful website and, you know, anyway. So when the grants started drying out because they were seed money, they went to an all-volunteer organization, and we just, those of us that were still in the struggle were kind of just keeping our local chapters alive when we heard the same way through an email that it was closing down, and then we found out it was because of finances. So our chapter here in Long Beach said, just do it. I mean, we had to really think hard and go back and forth, like, do we really want to take this on? Everybody's so tired. Why don't we just fold into Veterans for Peace?
Uh-huh.
And then I started talking to a couple people like Paula from New Jersey, Lugovine, and she was saying, you know what, there's still families out there who know it, and I did. And with her on the other coast, I just thought, you know, our kids are still getting deployed, and they're going to Afghanistan, and there's, how many still over there? There's 32,000 still over there. This is crazy. We can't close. Shut down this close to the finish line. The families need us. You can still speak out. President Obama kept promising that we're still going to be out at the end of 2014. And of course, we hear voices to the fact that's not going to happen unless we really get moving. So that's what got us moving. We have hopes to stop this war by the end of this year.
Perfect. Well, that's one thing. Tell us about the zero troops in Afghanistan.
Oh, thank you, Cindy, for knowing about it. You're always so aware of everything. Actually, there's a couple things going on, but yeah, MFSO is putting all their energy right now into this Zero Troops in Afghanistan campaign. And of course, a lot of you have heard the idea that because the president of Afghanistan elections are going on and the first round is done, a lot of people didn't. It kind of was kept so quiet that there's this bilateral security agreement about to be signed, and President Obama is begging, doing everything to make sure that the new candidates, that even before they even ran, were going to all sign up on this bilateral security agreement that would allow some troops to remain in Afghanistan. See, if they don't sign this thing, it's just like the Status of Forces Agreement in Iraq. If they don't sign this thing, our troops have to come home. Whether we like it, or whether our president likes it, or whether Afghanistan likes it, we have to get out at the end of 2014 unless they sign this bilateral security agreement. So that's what, the election, the first round is over. We're pretty much sure, it's taken a long time because they have to be counted by hand, that there's going to be a runoff. And so what we're trying to do with the Zero Troops in Afghanistan campaign is to make sure that our president doesn't sign off on it. Both candidates that will probably be in the runoff have already said they would sign it. So we feel very strongly we've got to put the pressure on President Obama because it's not a congressional thing right now. It could be. That's another story. So we want to make sure that people get involved, that we all speak out, that they don't get to, you know, sneak this in on us and say, oh, guess what? We're going to leave 10,000. We're going to leave only 15,000 troops after, because for security reasons. Because we know that's a bunch of bunk. You know, zero troops is the only amount of military that should be left in Afghanistan. None. And that's what we're pushing for. There's lots of things people can do. We're going to have a week of action, the week of Memorial Weekend, that week before and to the end, the 25th through the 31st of May. And we're asking everybody to get on our website, if you would, at mfso.org and see all the activities that you can do to help make the president and Congress hear that we want our troops home, and the only option as far as even our troops there is zero, no troops in Afghanistan. And there's also something going on with Iraq Veterans Against the War. Have you heard about that, Cindy, the Senate bill?
No, I haven't.
That's an interesting thing. We just heard about it last week, and it's exciting. I think they're doing all the groundwork, but they're ready to roll out with it. The Senator Merkel from Oregon has a resolution 347 that he's trying to get signed, and he's got some people co-signing in the Senate to give a general sense and hopefully attach it to some kind of spending bill, a larger military bill. And this resolution would state we don't want the president to sign the bilateral security agreement. We want congressional approval first to give us some time. So that's what IVAW, Iraq Veterans Against the War, is working on. That will also be on our website at mfso.org.
Do you know how many troops are still in Iraq?
In Iraq?
Yeah.
No, I do not. I know they're not combat forces per se. You know, how many troops are in Iraq, Jeff? How many troops in Iraq? About 800, Jeff says.
Oh.
Jeff, my husband, he also is an ally in this.
And they also have, there's also a lot of, what do you call it, mercenaries.
Oh, yeah.
Still in Iraq. And we have a large embassy and consulates and thousands of employees.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Still happening there.
But you know what? Oh, yeah, and not just there. I mean, there's so many other places, too. But what's really bothering many of us from MFSO is that everybody keeps telling us, oh, Afghanistan, that war is winding down, right? They're always saying that. What are you worried about that? They're getting out at the end of 2014. And really, right now, there's 32,000 troops there, and there's 51,000 NATO troops. Now, after all the losses we've had in this recent killing of the doctors, I mean, could it be any more plain to us? I mean, 82% of the people want us out. What are we doing there?
Exactly.
We don't even have to think of a reason to stay. There isn't any. Even our Marine General Joseph Dunford, the commander in Afghanistan, he says the only way that we can win the war in Afghanistan is to stay there indefinitely. Is there anybody that says to do? I mean, nobody says we should do that. Nobody.
Well, we also have to, this is why it's so important for peace groups to stay active, because we have to keep reminding people that there is no way to win wars.
Right.
And so, we can't stop, even if the Zero Troops in Afghanistan campaign is successful, we can't stop, because look at, they're shifting their focus to Asia, they're calling it the Asia-Pacific Pivot. And a lot of what's happening in the Ukraine is because of Russia and China becoming more involved in the geopolitical things. But they do it in ways, they do it with diplomacy, not with troops. So it's just so important to just say, not say, well, you know, this war's over, the Vietnam War's over, so let's just stop our activism. Iraq's over, Afghanistan's over. We can never give up, because we know the empire, the military-industrial complex, will never give up.
You know, it's taken me a while to catch up with you, Cindy, on this, because I just did this one thing, right, Iraq and Afghanistan, since I've known you. But now that I've been able to connect the dots, I see that. But we still have to recognize that people do need victories. you know, and sometimes there's little things that are going on, like right now with the zero troops or even the Senate resolution, have a promise that might motivate people to get back in the game. And then, like you say, stay in the game.
Right.
This is an achievable goal. We can stop this bilateral security agreement if people just get that energy back like we did when we took over the streets and not look at the situation as being, wow, we didn't end the war by doing that, but we did change the minds of the American people. Way before we got out of Iraq, people wanted out. And this is achievable. Well, the things we need to get into after, we still need our little victory.
Well, it's also very, ironic to me that a lot of people are, and even Obama is claiming that he got troops out of Iraq, when actually, just like he's doing in Afghanistan, his administration fought really hard to keep troops there. And it was
exactly.
A status of forces agreement that was signed between the Bush
right.
and Maliki. Government
because
that
they wouldn't allow
the
troops to be held accountable to war crimes, right?
Yes.
That was the point that he said, no, I'm not going to sign it. But you're right, it was Bush. But it was over that silly thing of not having our troops accountable for any war crimes over there.
Well, and like you said, most of the people in this country for years now have wanted troops out of Iraq and Afghanistan. So when he failed at keeping troops there, then he hypocritically claims victory for taking
right.
the troops out of there.
Exactly.
So
at this point, as long as we're wise to it, I don't even care.
Propaganda that we have to fight every day.
Right. And let's focus on taking care of there's so many problems. There's still years from some of our troops. You heard about the scandal recently, right? About in Arizona, about them putting aside these waiting secret lists.
Oh, yes,
that's
I did.
Horrible.
Yes.
And they're still, as long as they keep sending them, when I talk to other people about ending the war, Congress members, whatever, I keep saying, you really want to end the war, stop making more veterans. That's
right.
What you need to focus in on. They have every office in Congress has this veterans advisory group. And it's good because sometimes you have to get around to get your services. But why don't they see the big picture? Stop making veterans.
Well, and then, yes, and then the empire says support the troops, but what they mean is support the war profiteering, the war effort
right.
to keep the troops there, and just really screw them when they get back.
That's right. We're taking back that slogan. Support our troops means bring them home.
And that's why it's so important for groups like yours to keep going, and we were so thrilled when we heard, and we know it's a big job, and we were thrilled to hear that you were taking it, taking up the banner for Military Families Speak Out. When I say we, I'm not talking the royal we. I'm talking about my sister Dee Dee and I. We were so thrilled.
You guys have been so much energy for us doing what we do. I never stopped thinking of you guys, and all you've been through, and can't figure out why you're still in the game, or I'd be, putting myself in a hole somewhere if I suffered the loss you did with Kate. I don't know if I could get out there. So, thank you for all your
life goes on,
support.
So we have to try and do what we can with it, while we have it. And I'll be seeing you guys soon. I'll be staying up at the governor's mansion.
Southwest.
When I'm through another campaign swing, cutting a swath of campaign destruction through Southern California next week. So, Pat, give us your website one more time.
Thank you. It's the initials for Military Families Speak Out, which is MFSO.org. You'll see all sorts of campaign ideas, postcards, flyers. Thank you, Cindy, so much.
And it'll be on our newsletter and the information for this week's show. And we'll send that to you when we get it, and you can send it out to all your supporters, and so they can pass it around. Great,
Thank
Pat.
You,
okay,
carry
Pat
on,
Jeff.
My friend.
Love you. We'll see you soon.
Bye. You too. Great.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a safe trip home. That's Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox today. I hope you go and check out Military Families Speak Out and what they're doing and how you can become involved, even if you don't have a loved one in the military. And I hope you recognize how important it is to stay involved in peace efforts. And as always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar, my assistant and production assistant, Dee Dee Miller, Mikey for helping us with the show occasionally, Pat Alviso for being our guest, and especially you for listening and supporting the show. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.